You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borden with our video edition of the podcast. Welcome back in our great friend and the man who protects East Lansing as far as carving out a small niche of Michigan territory up there. That would be Tom Crawford, of course. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, John. And, let me state, though, there's a lot of Michigan people up there, a lot of alumni up here like me, a lot of diehard fans, a lot of maize and blue. You see a lot of M hats walking through Myers quite often. So it's pretty much represented up here, no problem.
Okay, very well. We obviously have to talk basketball and some of the developments here. We have talked a great deal about the promise of Frankie Collins for next year and how he needed to develop and how he was probably going to be your lead guard, and now he is going to be somewhere else. And I know that has troubled you a little bit, and I just want your opinion on Frankie Collins making the decision to enter the transfer portal and being gone after his freshman year at Michigan.
You sure you want to ask me that, John? Listen, this one struck a chord. I mean, and part this has been building up in me, and I'm open minded to the NIL and then the portal thing that Jim Harbaugh threw out there like 3 years ago. I remember at a Big Ten media days. I mean, you and I were talking about that day 3 or 4 years ago. One time transfer, and then and that's it. You can't do that again, but. This is literally the wild, wild west, and I think it epitomizes, and I'm going to really sound the siren out right now. I'm going to sound like a grumpy old man, stay off my lawn kind of guy, but maybe that's what I am today, but I hate to say it. This epitomizes that generation. I have kids in that generation, and they're not all that way. My kids are not that way, but I've talked to a lot of human resource people in business. Both that I know personally around town, also ones on LinkedIn and some of these professional platforms. Kids, just it's what can you do for me like right now? And that epitomizes Frankie Council. They want assurance. No, I'm going to start right. I'm going to start next year. I had a really good game against Colorado State. That's going to earn me a starting nod, right? You know, I mean, it's almost like you can just read. You can read it, the body language. This one really disturbs me because I think it's just what's all going on. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I think Juwan Howard has got to be thinking, like, really, was that Jalen Llewellyn thing worth it? If it's going to push out Frankie, but I say that knowing that in the long run, it's better you find out right now about character and, integrity and a commitment to compete, which obviously Frankie Collins does not have. He doesn't want to compete for a position. He wants to be assured a position. So bye-bye.
I mean, you talk about competitors only. That's exactly the challenge there. Do you compete for your job, or is the expectation, I will be unchallenged, I will be installed as the next guy without any? I just think, I mean, you're trying as a coach and as a program to build depth, to have all your bases covered. We know there are such things as injuries. We know there are such things as guys that are having trouble at parts of the season or maybe don't work out quite as well. So you add a guard, that shouldn't, that shouldn't make any difference for the guy that is right in line to be your next point guard. We've talked about so many positives in terms of Frankie Collins, his quickness and his speed and some of the flashes of brilliance that he had. But then you look and, okay, if in fact it was the bringing in of the Llewellyn kid that got his attention and had him saying, all right, maybe this isn't the place for me, then I'm with you on the second part of that estimation that, hey, if that is all it takes to push you out the door, maybe you belong out the door. Maybe you belong somewhere else. Because, I mean, look at football. Look at the competition there. And look at a guy like J.J. McCarthy who mm-hmm. says, hey, I love Michigan. I'm going to be here. I'm committed. I'm going to compete. I feel good and confident in my abilities. All of that, that's what you want. And that's what's going to build a good team.
That's an ideal example of that, John. You know, and I got accused all regular season. What are you, Frankie's PR guy? When I would be going on and on about Frankie Collins, because I got that intel from talking to his teammates, talking to Eli after a game, Devontae Jones, talking to Hunter, you know, about Frankie having a good game, asking. I like to ask players about their teammates and what do you see in practice? What do you see in terms of the progression? And it was like they said, it's jaw dropping in practice. It's what this kid has. His ceiling is so high. I heard that from three different kids, three different conversations. It's all the same thing. I was super excited, so happy for this kid. After the Colorado State game, Devontae, you know, can't play. He comes in, steps up big time. Post game, I asked Frankie in the post game about, you know, everybody, you know, what a great outing and things like that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, the challenge for you is your perimeter shooting. Is this something you can work on this summer, something like that? And all of a sudden, Juwan jumps in into the conversation from the other side of the panel and almost speaks for Frankie and not even let him answer the question. And it was fine. It worked out all good. But because Frankie got some, you know, intel in, or some comments in there. But it was like, I'm thinking, is Juwan being overly protective of Frankie? Is like, don't piss this guy off. I mean, I just had this feeling that something didn't seem right after this big win over Colorado State, that he would jump in there. And that was not at all a question that put him on the spot or was being even remotely critical about it. That one stuck with me, and I think this is a byproduct of that.
Yeah, and you talk about Juwan Howard and where he's at right now. The question becomes for Juwan Howard, where are you at guard right now? You've got the Llewellyn kid you're bringing in. You've got Kobe Bufkin who can play some two guard, provided he is, in fact, still with the program. We have to acknowledge that last night at midnight was the deadline for players applying for the portal, but you've got a couple of days for the school to confirm and all of that. So, you know, there could still be a shoe to drop, but it looks like Frankie may be the only one beside Brandon Johns Jr. that is taking the transfer route. But the big question is, where is Michigan at guard for next year?
You got me. I mean, Jet Howard, he can play guard, can he? I mean, what do you I don't know. I mean, actually, Caleb Houston is listed as a guard half the time. I mean, I don't know. That's a great question. And this is what, you know, your colleague Chris Ballas, I thought, made an interesting point, you know, in a tweet, like, I don't blame, you know, after all this thing with Frankie came down and then the Terrence Shannon Jr. thing with Illinois and blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't blame Juwan for going to the NBA. And to be honest with you, I think that's the big challenge in intercollegiate athletics. I'm talking about specifically football and basketball. You are literally recruiting every freaking day. You have to recruit your own kids every day. You have to pamper your kids every day. If you choose that route, which still doesn't work, obviously, and that's just the way it is. Now, I don't know, maybe be more hard-fisted about things, not literally, but, you know, in terms of, you know, if you don't want to stay here, leave. You know, maybe you got to be that kind of guy. I don't know, but I'm really two sports that I truly love. My sports passion is 95% college football and college basketball. Everything else adds up to the other 5%. That's the level that I love college football and college basketball. I watch the NFL draft because I'm watching college highlights for 4 hours. And that's why I like the NFL draft. And where's the Michigan guy going? Wherever the Michigan guy is going, that's why I watch the pros. Well, you know, Jordan Poole, why am I a Warriors fan all of a sudden? Jordan Poole. It's Michigan-based. That's why. And that's why this really this disturbs me, because I think college football and college basketball is in a whole peck of trouble right now, to use a Keith Jackson line.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you, because there is being thrown into the mix this uncertainty and this, I quite frankly, you want to show the get off my lawn aspect. I didn't like it when free agency entered baseball.
Because me too. That's when I lost my interest. Kurt Flood. That's what it did it in for me.
Yeah. I mean, you used to be able to count on this core group of guys growing together and being together for a long, long time. And now you can't anymore. And you can't even count on any core group of guys in college basketball being together for 2 years. So,
yeah, John, you nailed it. I mean, the Tigers lineup, when Major League Baseball actually was my favorite sport as a kid, you know, right. Even though I loved college football as a kid. And because the Tiger lineup, the batting lineup never changed for 3 or 4 years. Maybe a little twist here and there every other night, but it was a Dick McAuliffe lead. No, I mean, forever and ever. Don Wirt, you know, Willie Horton and Bill, or Jim Northrup, Bill Freehand, you know, all the four or five starting out. I mean, it was all the same. And this is when I lost interest.
Yeah, for you young kids out there, this is the 68 Tigers World Champions that Tom Crawford is talking about. I'm right with him, but some of you may not recognize those names. But on the flip side of this coin, you've got Hunter Dickinson staying for a third year, and that is maybe the biggest news of all. We've talked about that already, but the fact that he is back gives you a chance to plug in players around him and still build for a very competitive team for this year. And you talk about being hard-fisted. Hunter Dickinson wasn't afraid to be hard-fisted at all in coming out and ripping the Texas Tech coach in not signing off of the Shannon kid for coming to take extra classes.
Right.
And now he's going to apparently end up at Illinois. What do you make of that situation?
You know, I appreciate what Hunter did. Hunter, you know, Hunter's outspoken guy. Hunter's, you know, outspoken on the floor, maybe a little too much for my blood, but that's fine. If whatever works for him to get himself, you know, galvanized with the team and everything. But, yeah, that was that's just going to waste. Gonna be, you know, someone is going to win a Big Ten championship. Somebody's going to win a national championship. It's what coach navigates that this whole new concept the best. And maybe Juwan Howard can do that. Maybe he can be. But I know some coach is going to drive him right out of business. You know, we saw Jay Wright said, bottom line, he's done with this stuff. He can't handle it. He's got tired of competing every freaking day. Going to the office, and every day is a level of competition. It's what we just talked about. I'm making sure everybody's happy and looking at the portal and things like that. I like that one with Hunter, and I'm still incompetent, very confident that Juwan Howard is going to pull this thing together. It's just it just struck a nerve with me because I just saw such a high ceiling with Frankie Collins. I really did. And I thought he was going to be Michigan's next great guard.
That begs an interesting question because you look at the churn and you look at the turnover. John Beilein, he'd had enough of it when he got out. So who then would be the top Big Ten coaches in your mind best mentally suited to adjust to the modern day conditions? I think Juwan Howard might be right at the top of that list, having worked in the NBA and seeing the changing rosters and all that. There's other guys that have been around for a long, long time that may be themselves getting a little bit fed up. Give me two or three Big Ten coaches that you think might be well suited to deal with the present situation.
Well, I'm going to, you know, this might surprise you. I mean, Juwan, definitely, I agree with you totally because he's such a great relationship builder. And you're right with the NBA influence and things like, you know, he knows what player personnel, that whole new concept of free agency. So I think he's well, but I think you'd be shocked for me to say, I mean, Tom Izzo right now has a renewed level of enthusiasm that has surprised me. I think he's going to be there a long time. He just got $4 million bonus for hanging around as long as he had over the weekend. So that's not something to keep you enthused. All right. But I think Izzo's going to dig into this thing because that's his life. I mean, basketball is his life. You have to be a coach where this is what you do. You love coaching college basketball or college football. And that's what, you know, you're just – Kirby Smart's another – I'm flipping over to football. This guy, I know for a fact, texts recruits all freaking day long. All day long. With threads with groups of recruits, ones that have committed and ones that have not committed. He's a texting. He's constantly in dialogue with players. Why? Because recruiting is the lifeblood of winning big-time college sports, football and basketball. You've got to be a great recruiter, and I think that's why Juwan in particular, I think, is going to flourish. As far as the other coaches in the Big Ten, I'm clueless on that. I don't know how Fran likes it in Iowa. I don't know, but I know that those. I think Izzo and Juwan will do well.
We're definitely going to find out over the next few years because this is what it is now. And yeah. I know you retain a very good relationship with Izzo. I will just say this. He also has to – I'm convinced he has a secret dossier on every single Michigan State player that keeps them in place for an extra year or two that you don't think that they will be because, they stick around when you just don't expect it. All right, let's transition to football and the NFL draft over the weekend. I had a brief text conversation with Chris Hutchison, father of Aiden Hutchison, who always makes me feel, a little more long in the tooth, mature, whatever, because I did, in fact, cover Chris Hutchison when he was an All-American for Michigan, as you know, you were around then too, and now have covered Aiden. So, but really happy for that family. What a great family, and what an interesting development for Aiden to stay in the state of Michigan, go to the Lions. I've mentioned my mixed feelings about all of that, and shoot, Aiden Hutchison admitted he didn't grow up a Lions fan because, you know, it's hard to cheer for a team that does not win year after year, but now he's all fired up and should be about his new team and making this thing go.
You know, Jack and Jim Harbaugh, their creed enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I mean, I thought Aiden absolutely, you know, epitomized that coming out of the tunnel of the draft, you know, when he got drafted by the Lions. And I think he's, you know, people were talking about, oh, his wingspan's not that good and maybe not as athletic as some Georgia players and some of the other kids in the draft. I'm telling you what, that this kid has got the highest motor in the history of mankind. He's got the most dedication. Incredible family, almost like this can't be, they can't be this good, living this wonderful life. I mean, but you got Chris, an All-American, we're in 97. You got Melissa, who people on, they couldn't figure out who the daughters were and who the wife was. Melissa, you know, is a supermodel. And you got Chris, who just has this grind in him. And they're all nice people. And it's a Michigan, you know, it's Michigan bred, you know, he went to high school at Divine Child, just a few miles away from the training camp. This is too corny to believe, but I think it's going to be a good thing. Now I'm like you, I had some mixed thing on that Aiden thing going to the Lions, because when the Lions draft somebody, it seems like you're going into the big black hole. I mean, it's just something like a curse, something that, you know, it doesn't always work out good. But I think this is one that's going to work out good in the short term and the long term. I'm super excited he's a Detroit Lion.
All right. And then you got not only Aiden Hutchinson in the first round, but late first rounder Daxton Hill going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Pretty nice land for Daxton Hill in terms of a team that he gets selected by.
Yeah, and I think part of that thing is that two-for-one thing. It's like when people want to hire in a workplace, they want to get a person who can do two different jobs. He could play safety. He could play a corner. Dax Hill is an incredible – and I'm not telling you something you don't know. I mean, this guy is incredibly talented. He's not that thick. I mean, 190 pounds, but I just think he'll stand up to the punishment in the NFL. He's going to have a great career, and it's great to get drafted a little bit later. You're a part of a Super Bowl contender. I mean, how grand is that? And yet you're still a first round pick, and he'll get a nice contract. And so I'm really happy for that young man.
No doubt about it. Maybe my single favorite development of the draft, it's right up there with Hutchinson, is the fact that David Ojabo is taken in the second round by the Baltimore Ravens, going to play for another Harbaugh, and going to play for the defensive coordinator that gave him a shot and raised his level in Mike McDonald. Your thoughts about Ojabo, despite his injury, landing with the Ravens?
A great pick for the Ravens. And, you know, with John Harbaugh, I mean, obviously there's some – familiarity with him and with Jim and everything, and that's just unbelievably cool. And I don't know if you saw Reese Davis on ESPN. They had back-to-back features on Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. I think they showed it Saturday morning, and I'm thinking, oh my God, Michigan football program is truly blessed with two incredible players from two incredible families. Yeah. I mean, the David Ojabo story is amazing. It's amazing. And the guy's only played football for about 3 or 4 years, come from Scotland, and, you know, and then coming over here without his family. His family got to see him play the first time, or his dad got to see him play. It was either the Ohio State game or the Big Ten championship game. It's just that's another crazy story, too hard to believe. And just the emotion that he showed with all his friends around him and family, that was a cool thing, him going into the second round.
Yeah, absolutely. Hassan Haskins, able to leap small Buckeyes in a single bound. Lance, he's going to be playing for a Buckeye down with the Tennessee Titans. Good land for him in the fourth round of the draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Derrick Henry's not going to play every freaking down. And I think it's good to be behind somebody like that. Hassan Haskins, I mean, not quite as powerful. I mean, but he's a powerful guy. And I remember Harbaugh last summer talking at Big Ten Media Days about this guy is the first guy to get in the weight room and the last guy to leave every freaking day. And he's not one of those committed guys. You're so happy for guys that put in the work. I know all these guys put in the work to some extent. But Aiden Hutchinson, Hassan Haskins, David Ojabo is going to put the work in. He put the work in. Wow. That's when you really feel good about sports. You see the benefit of all that work.
Yep, and it's the same story with Andrew Stuber, who was around Michigan for a long, long time and was a solid rock on that line last year. You know that the New England Patriots like Michigan guys, and I will say this, now that the Patriots are off of their two-year probation that I assigned to them after they let Tom Brady slip away, now I'm back on board. They're one of my favorite teams. I'll certainly be wishing well for Stuber and the rest of the Patriots this year.
Yeah, you're like me then, John. I mean, you follow the – and I love the NFL. I love the NFL. I love watching it. I haven't had a favorite – my favorite team is whoever – whatever Michigan player is on the screen, you know, that in that particular game. I just – I'm just galvanized that way. That's just the way I am. Probably because our Lions have never – they've never given us a team since I was 1 year old back in 1957. You know, they've won one playoff game since that moment. So that's why I we're wired that way. But maybe we can get 2-for-1 – you know, with Aiden Hutchinson, not only a Michigan player playing that team, but they also a good team, our own local team, finally maybe getting the Super Bowl someday.
There it is, folks. Tom Crawford has a claim far and above me because he was able to watch the Detroit Lions championship through the bars of his crib when he was 1 year old. Yes. I was not on this planet yet, but now with Aiden Hutchinson, we expect much greater things out of the Lions. Tom Crawford, man, it's fun. I wish we could talk all day, and we could, but we will do this again very soon. I appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate being on, JB. It's an honor. We're never going to run out of content with college football, college basketball. It's a daily newsreel every day, so look forward to the next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.